You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at hearstranch.com.
All right, everyone, welcome. We're really excited today. We're embarking on a new episode of Cooking in Mexico from A to Z. I'm your host, Aaron Sanchez, alongside my beautiful co-host and mom,
Sarela Martinez.
And what we're going to focus on today is a subject that I think is long overdue, and, you know, talking about the contemporary interpretations of traditional Mexican food, and what are some of those chefs and pioneers that are leading the charge. And they're in the front lines of this beautiful movement that's happening, not just now, but it's been happening in Mexico and other parts, even in the States, for a long time. But we're very privileged and honored to have Chef Rodolfo Castellanos, who's going to be here with us today. He's a beautiful chef at Origen, which is a wonderful contemporary restaurant in Oaxaca. He's born in Oaxaca, so that's his tierra, his home. And, you know, he's won many different accolades. His terroir, exactly. Yeah. And he's won unbelievable recognitions, well-deserved. I mean, 2016, he was a top chef in Mexico. His culinary style is all about cultural authenticity, respect for the tradition, and the preservation of techniques alongside contemporary and French techniques, which I think is beautiful, because I think Chef Rodolfo, you and I have a lot of that in common. I was part of the Nuevo Latino movement in New York City in the mid-90s. Which was basically what that kind of entails. We're going to get into your story, get into what your influences are and how you started, because I think that's very important. So we're going to go ahead all day and talk a little bit about, you know, your mom, Avelia Reyes, and who transmitted some of that beautiful Oaxacan cuisine to you. I know that Oaxaca was probably my mom's first love outside of the north of Mexico. My mom went to Oaxaca and was completely transformed. So this is a very special episode for all of us. So bienvenido, muchísimas gracias, mi chef.
Muchas gracias. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor to chatting with you today about this subject that we all love in this conversation. So it's an honor. Thank you. A privilege to be with you. And also an honor to speaking with your mom, with Sarela, and you, chef. It's really, really nice. Thank you.
Wonderful, chef.
You know that I think that even though new contemporary Mexican has been around for a long time, it has now finally reached maturity. You know, like when all the new French started, you know, all of a sudden it just became incorporated into the lingo. Well, that's what happens here with Mexican new Mexican food. I think you're the epitome of a person who practices this art.
And I think it's important to start from the beginning, no? So what's happening is that you look at the Cordon Bleu in Mexico City and how Mexicans are being trained traditionally in kitchens, right? So you have this beautiful sort of dual narrative of having the cocineras tradicionales, you know, traditional cooks, mom at home, and then you go and you get this unbelievable training in a professional setting. And from that comes this beautiful birthplace of this new Mexican cuisine contemporary. You want to talk a little bit about that, Rodolfo, and your upbringing and how that influenced you and your training?
Yes, well, you say it right. We had this beautiful traditional cooking in the entire country all the time and get inspired by that. But like as a chef, as a professional, you wanted to get a training, and well, especially when I did a culinary school, it happens to be basically French trained all the way, mm-hmm. like all the French traditions, the French techniques, and basically all the school programs, they were like inspired into French cooking. So all the training, I mean, among all the schools available at that time, they were like French trained. All the way, like I said, and that basically influenced my cooking these days, to have that base of traditional Oaxacan cuisine, especially at home with my mom, and then the mix of mm-hmm. techniques and and ingredients and inspiration and the organization that you get from being educated that way. So I really like it. I enjoyed it very much because that opens, you know, all the perspective of what's a professional kitchen, and something that I really wanted to do for a living. It's what I see or what I saw every day at home. So that was really, really nice.
So, you know, I just wanted to, after what Rodolfo said, you told me that you went and that you worked for Tracy Desjardins for a long time, didn't you? Well, when you were working with her, you told me that she taught you about layering of flavors.
Yeah, that was something that I really enjoyed there. Layering of flavors, we had it all the time in Mexico, I guess, with the limon and the rajas and the peppers and the sweets from all over the place. And like the perfect example, it's a mole, you know, like something that you build out of like different intensity of flavors, like peppers, spices, the spice or the heat from the chiles. But along the way, you have the plantains, the fruits, the dry fruits, the spices. So you have like a whole explosion in your mouth. But that was something that I learned like separate, you know, like having like a piece of like a mint. Nuts and something, you know, like meat or fish and a sauce and acidity that it was coming from other sources. I mean, like, was so familiar with sources like lime, for example, all the time. So for when you have like capers, you have grapes, you have, I don't know, vinegars, like different sources, that was like a whole explosion for me that I got like from other vision, from other training, from other cuisine, that I love when I learn it to incorporate it in my cooking too.
And I think,
well, it's like a tostada. A tostada is a perfect example of a simple layering of flavors. You've got the beans and the fried tortilla. You have the whatever meat, chicken or whatever. Then you have pickled jalapenos and pickled onions and maybe avocado. And everything hits your palate at a different time. So that's very similar to what effect tasting a mole is like.
Yeah. And then really quickly, so Rodolfo, so your journey is Oaxacan born, you know, you had this beautiful sort of foundation of food at home. You went and started doing your training, and then you decide to go back home. And I think that's a huge lesson for everyone that's listening, for young chefs, say, well, I can establish myself and stay in the United States. But what was that motivation for you to come home and say, you know what? I'm going to do a restaurant called Origin. I'm coming home. That had to be a very special moment in your life.
Yes.
For you to be able to make that decision. And it's really special. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, that was basically a whole revelation in my life, especially when you see it from outside. That's really important for like every cook that I know and that I admire, that you get to go somewhere else besides home, to get inspired, to appreciate what you have. And I mean, in Oaxaca, we have a lot. That's something that it's not a lie or something that I invented. We had it and we were very lucky, but we were like seeing it every day as common. Like that was every day's thing, that you have something that you were born with it and you don't see it like rare, you know, you don't see it like different, you see it normal. But when I get to travel, I spent some time in France, in Monaco. I earned a scholarship after culinary school. So that was like basically the first stage of my life when I see like Oaxaca as a whole paradise. But I knew myself that I needed more training, I needed more experience, I needed to see a little bit other cuisines, other kitchens to learn, I mean, like the process, to learn the technique, to learn different recipes if you want. But the revelation came with my daughter was born, my first daughter, Elisa. We were in San Francisco, and the motivation was like to nourish her with a culture that it was like ours, you know, like I didn't want it for her to be born and raised in the States, which I love and I really care and I like, and I always keep it in my heart. But for me and my foundation, that was like basically the highest motivation to come back home and do something where it was like a paradise basically for me. But I didn't want it to see it that way. I mean, it's easy. It's very well, easy, that'll be the work in some way to get organized and to get all the system built for you in the States. It's a whole organization, and here in Mexico, it's completely the opposite. You have to build everything from scratch. You have mm-hmm. to look for the best product available. You have to look for the source where you get inspiration. And the highest or the biggest challenge for me in Oaxaca, it was like to do something different in Oaxaca, which, I mean, it was already too much for me. It was already, you don't know where to start. I mean, you go to the market and you see like, oh, there is just seasonal product, but there is like every single product in the planet, basically in Oaxaca market. So you get the opposite. You get like, fuck, this is a lot. So I need to do like a little,
So mom, talk to about your first interaction at Origen, because I know that you, so my mom basically wants to move to Oaxaca, and that's going to be her home. So, you know, my mom, what is it, 25 years that you went to Oaxaca for the first time? 25?
But Rodolfo, the restaurant has changed. The restaurant scene in Oaxaca has changed completely. You know, I think Rodolfo and Alejandro Diaz had a lot to do with it. But, you know, but mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. I went there, I guess, maybe like in 2013, maybe, mm-hmm. a long time ago. And you didn't you open around 2011?
2011, that's correct.
Yeah.
So he was just starting, and I've seen the restaurant itself evolve a lot. You know, like mm-hmm. there are more deconstructed dishes, like the amaranto tamal that I had recently. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just keeps on evolving, and it's more ingredient and seasonal based now than it was mm-hmm. the beginning. Mm-hmm.
And talk to us a little bit about that, Rodolfo, chef. The idea of, you know, you have Casa Oaxaca, which was like the first one that really put it on the map for all of us. You know, my sister, Sarela's daughter, Marisa, got married at Casa Oaxaca many years ago, plus 20 plus. When we started going originally, Oaxaca was sort of an untapped resource of Mexican, food and culture. Now it's become very popular. Now it's almost becoming like San Miguel de Allende or these places that are very much exploited by a lot of Americans that are coming down there for that little cultural sort of infusion. How have you felt over seeing the progression of Oaxaca and its cuisine grow?
Well, everything, it's a result of like having the loop or the eye of like a lot of people in Oaxaca, finding Oaxaca as a destination, a food destination, a wedding destination, a mezcal destination, an art destination. It brings people from all over the place. So those influences, and then all the information that it starts like circulating around, you get a lot of or more tools to propose something. Like Sarela said, I'm more oriented into the ingredient itself, into like the source seasonality and everything. I said that the idea at the beginning never changed, but it just evolved, which is, I guess, the right word. I started to do like some interpretation on French dishes, on Californian dishes, something with Oaxacan ingredients. That was the first thing, thinking that, I mean, that was something different for Oaxaca at that time. But I realized like we had a lot of techniques that they needed to move and to evolve. We typically overcooked the protein in Mexico in general with the stocks, with the things that you throw in a mole. It's the most of the times it's overcooked. And then the respect of the product, it was something because you have a lot and it doesn't matter if you burn it. There is a lot more mm-hmm. to play with. So that was something that I tried to incorporate and separating those techniques, but respecting the flavors, respecting the foundation of the sauce of a mole or the ingredient. I tried to skip and put away butter, creams, mustard, something that I was part of my training, and I cannot deny it that it was like the first influence into my cooking. But after discovering now that Sarela mentioned in the amaranth, it's a beautiful ingredient that basically it's boring. Nobody uses it. You just find it into the granola mix and that's it.
But you know, but it's right? Interesting that what you said, chef. You hear what he said, mom? He said, you know, with the traditional cooking techniques in Mexico is, you know, put up a protein that doesn't have a lot of inherent flavor, like a turkey, a chicken, let it go and cook in a beautiful, flavorful sauce. but he's taking the idea of respecting the product, cooking it in the French technique, but having the sauce accompany it. That is what we're talking about here, in essence, right, Mom? And that idea of respecting the product, you know?
But his food is not like, only with the duck did I notice that it's like cooked really separately and the sauce is on the bottom. Normally, his food is all incorporated, you know? Isn't it not?
It's built. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean like your octopus. But what blew my mind is the first time I had your aguachile. Because that was a discovery for me. And I think you helped make that popular. I mean, it is so amazing.
Talk to a little bit about your menu breakdown and how you do it, Chef. I think to my mom's point, you know, what would you like people to understand when they come to Origen and they come and understand your food? You know, what would you like them to take away from that?
Well, I like to get inspired by the season, by the product, and get a variety of dishes, like trying to please every single taste or palate on the public. I'm not a place that you find like a super spicy sauce, a hot sauce that you get like overwhelmed with the heat. But I like to be, I like to use heat as necessary to enhance, to potentialize other flavors, to make a nice contrast, but not burn your palate. Seasonality is very important. Like I said, product, small ranchers, fishermans, I mean like the seasons on mushrooms, it's amazing. Herbs, we have a beautiful family on herbs, corn. It takes a special place into the restaurant because origin, it comes from these theories of like the Popol Vuh, the Mayan culture, that the man comes from corn, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something that it's basically the foundation on the menu. And then respecting French techniques, but I try to, like I said, like separate some ingredients. Speaking about like black pepper, for example, you salt and pepper everything, but in Oaxaca you don't salt and pepper, you use salt, and our pepper is pimienta gorda, which is allspice.
Of course.
We don't really use at all black pepper, for example. So those things I try to make an understanding with the cooks and everything, that we follow some path that it's marked in terms of like the cooking and the time on the protein, but don't necessarily have to put something that is mechanic and automatic, you know, like separating those things and poaching, like olive oil. We do have in the country olive oil in Baja, but it's something that we really had it before with the Spanish influence, with the moles, with the convents, with the Franciscans and Jesuits and everybody that stepped into Oaxaca and brought their products. That seems really logic to use olives in Oaxaca, to use cinnamon in Oaxaca, to use all these things. And Oaxaca, it's a huge influence on cultures. So that's basically the inspiration to try to break down everything. Like Sarel said, it's separate. Everything is separated because I try to incorporate all the culture that stepped into Oaxaca. For some reason, we have ingredients. We have dry shrimp, that we have a beautiful soup with cactus, like a neck drop soup with cactus and dry shrimp and pasilla mije. But if you take the pasilla mije out, it's and the nopal, it's a beautiful neck drop soup from China, for example, no? We have those tandoori ovens, which we get our own version on comiscales, and we make totopos and we cook lisa instead of like pitas, you know. But those things, exactly. I try to break down all these theories, all these influences, and incorporating it into dishes. So probably I make like a rub or like a marinade with the spices that resembles to a masala, to a Chinese marinade or something, but with chiles, with the spices from Mexico, with herbs. And I try to build those contrasts on flavors and different bases or marinades with chintexle, with chiles, with fruits, and try to get that. So the variety on the menu, you please somebody that wants to really enjoy a piece of meat, but also you have a vegetarian or vegan dishes, and then you have this coastal cooking from aguachiles, from zarandeados, from octopus. That is really something unique from our culture. But in Oaxaca, we don't have like the tradition that they do more in the north, like Sinaloa, for example, Nayarit, mm-hmm. and now Baja, or that they have beautiful seafood. We do have beautiful seafood, but our water is not as cold, so the fat content in the fish is different. And the treating the fish, we need to work on that a lot for the fishermen to understand like the product is decreasing their quality as soon as it's out of the water. So it's something that it brings a challenge with education, But I like to, you know, to mix all these like concepts into the yeah. recipes, trying to like showcase it into a menu.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
Well, you know, I want to get into the desserts, you know, because one of the things that I had, not on this trip, this trip we had a very interesting corn dish that was a dessert. Was it like an ice cream or what was it? Because everything seems to be going cold now, corn now.
Corn, yeah. Corn, it's everybody's crazy about corn.
Yeah, but the thing is that you had like a raspberry thing last time that was heavenly.
Well, we do have a lot of fruits, and basically desserts is something in Oaxaca that is not necessarily inspired by technique, like French technique, for example. In this case, the sweets are more a cookie, more a side dish of a nieve, mm-hmm. of some sort of like a, or ice cream version, but we don't have like desserts, like plated desserts. So it's a cookie, it's a meringue. It's something that, so what we were trying to do with the sweets is also, our first inspiration is the product. So if you count that in Oaxaca, we have cacao, we have vainilla, we have, I mean, you the fruits, you name it, and we probably have. So it's everything, it's beautiful and depending on the regions.
So Rodolfo, a question I have for you, we know that the great chefs from Teotitlan del Valle, we know all the different surrounding villages where they have specific markets on certain days. We're talking to Sachia, Mitla, all the different places, right? So when you're going about, do you have some of these local traditional cooks come to your restaurant and do dinners and like bring in the local communities, you know, and have special moments for like that?
I mean, the big stage, it's this festival that it's El Saber del Sabor that it started with Alejandro Ruiz back in 2010, basically. So the first time that I came into Oaxaca and I got related and start to make some friends, like new friends, because I was out of Oaxaca for like 10 years or something, getting trained and stuff. They opened the door for me that it was a revelation and something really nice, because they said like, hey, we're incorporating chefs from all over the country. We're inviting all the cocineras tradicionales. We're trying to recognize their value, because they were like always abuelitas and moms, that they were like amazing cooks, but nobody were, they were not given the credit of what they mean in reality for Mexican food. So we try to work with them along with the product, because being cocinera tradicional, it's something that, I mean, they're cocineras because they were born in Teotitlan or in Ocotlan or somewhere. But mm-hmm. the side work or the side job is to be growing corn, squash, their milpas, their like goats, mm-hmm. their chickens, so, or they're like artesanos, weavers, or they work with ceramics, pottery. So the family, it always brings something on the side, not just traditional foods. And if you take that Oaxaca, it's a whole variety on regions. There is a lot of coincidences into the dishes.
And it's also a matriarchal society. The Zapotecs mm-hmm. are very matriarchal. So las mujeres mandan.
Las mujeres mandan.
En mi vida, the women run everything.
Same so, here, same right, here. Mom?
Yeah, same here, exactly.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
Not really.
But like, yeah. So what is beautiful is to learn from them. I try to cook as much as we can. So I have been cooking with Olga, with Aurora from Sandunga, from the Isthmus, with Deya, also from the Isthmus. And in Teotitlan, I learned from Raquel some dishes from Cuicatlan. So it's beautiful to get that inspiration, because the menu of Origen, coming back to that, right now it's a whole compilation of the regions of Oaxaca. I mean, we do it our way, and I'll just say, like, okay, I'm not from there, so this is my interpretation, and I'm just safe, you know?
Exactly.
Because it's, like they say, like, the worst enemy of a Oaxacan guy, it's another Oaxacan. Because, but it's not the enemy, they're defending, they're proud the pride of being from the coast, and then you're never going to be able to do tamal de tichindas as they do it in the coast, that's for sure. But I probably get like some mussels from Baja, and then I use a local chili from the valleys, but I get that inspiration to build the recipes in Oaxaca. But it's something really nice that it's happening like lately with Oaxacan community of cooks, between the traditional cocineras and chefs and new chefs and people that have been cooking all their life, that we get along really well, I guess. We understand that, I mean, Oaxaca, it's so big and so vast that it's a huge cake that we cannot eat it by ourselves. So sharing techniques, sharing products, purveyors and fishermen and everything, it's something that helps to build a stronger community of chefs or restaurants. The options are very similar in a way, but the settings are completely different, the attention and the service is completely different. So you're working basically with the same ingredients, if you want, with the same regions, with the same inspiration, but different takes on the personal, like, take on chefs.
Mami, ¿tienes una pregunta, mami?
Yeah, I do. I have the, you know, when I was there the last time, I decided I would make a Veracruz and lunch. And Rodolfo sent one of his students who did, and he actually did all the food by himself, and he was brilliant, you know. So he's training a whole other people, and so Rodolfo made this comment that, you know, because I said it would be great to open a Veracruzan restaurant, and he agreed because after 4 days people are sick of moles, you know. Let's face it.
Yeah, it becomes a little bit much. Yeah, I get it.
A little bit much, yes. A friend said, like, he will become a tlayuda after the third day if he's still doing work.
Exactly. Estás empapado. You know, it's like, yeah, you start becoming, like, you know.
Yeah, sweating into the dough. And
stuff. Exactly.
So what are your favorite ingredients to work with?
I mean, I love herbs. Quelites, it's something that we had it. They're very affordable. They're all year-round available. And each of them, they have like a special flavor, as same as chiles. Dry chiles is something that we have to understand after like using them a lot and learning and burning them all and restart again and trying and trying and trying. But like the simplest things of like herbs, corn, nopales, chiles, that's the foundation of or milpa, you know, like or milpa, it's the perfect system around the agriculture. That everything works perfectly.
I think we should define the milpa for our listeners. I'm sorry.
It's growing three plants or four plants together so that each one provides like a nutrient or a shade or whatever.
Yeah,
so
shade.
You know, so you grow tomatoes and chilies and corn.
The beans, and they protect the leaves, protect the others. And it's just this beautiful cycle of nutrients and, you know, symbiotic existing with ingredients. But they're based on the pre-Hispanic ingredients, right? The Mesoamerican ingredients, which is corn, chile, cacao, you know, squashes, herbs, beans, you know, the whole thing. So just for people that are listening to not get confused what the milpa is.
Yeah, milpa, so, yeah. Milpa, they have different, yeah. Like, trinities, if you want. You have, like, squash, beans, and corn. You have other ones around, depending on the region, also in the country, the season that they, like, harvest. Like put the seeds on the ground waiting for the rains, there is irrigation systems that they have changed a little bit, like the companion on the herbs around. But it's something that it's always present. It's the base of our for diet in Mexico for sure.
Well, you know, I'm doing a new book on building blocks, which is you know, like let's say pico de gallo or salsa, and you that's a base recipe, and then you use that to make many other dishes. So what are some of the Oaxacan building blocks?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we had this conversation in the past before with Zarela, and it's a brilliant idea and a brilliant concept, because we have like our mother sauces, like in French culture, you have the bechamel, you have the demis, you have the, I don't know, the other based salsas. Well, we do have the same thing in different layers of dishes. If you build a pico de gallo, you have three ingredients that will be a whole coincidence in like 20 other salsas. So that's something really, really nice and really beautiful. If you char them, if you boil them, if you leave it raw, if you smoke it or let it dry, sun dry, whatever, it's something brilliant that it needs to be recognized as a whole system of cooking, if you want. So that's something really, really nice that we have.
No, the thing is that what I'm thinking is you take the pico de gallo, saute it, add eggs and totopos, and you've got huevos a la mexicana. Or you saute it, add herbs, spices like cinnamon, cloves, and cumin, which is one of the trinities of Mexican spice mixtures, and you cook fish in it, and you've got my snapper hash. Or you saute it and add zucchini and corn, and you have calabacitas con queso. So do you have anything that you can give me that I can use?
for like that formula?
Yeah, typically Oaxacan combination.
No, but a corolla, you know what I mean? Like corolla. No, don't do, you know what I mean? She's going to ask you for information, Rodolfo. So
absolutely. I mean, I'm an open book here for as much as I know, because I mean, my information is limited, but like I can get like sources of those.
Of course.
Of those, I mean, like spice combination, it's something really nice. Like the fruit combination, it's something that it ended up into, especially moles, you know, like because mole, I can take a mole base, for example, with guajillo, which is the most popular, and three spices that it can be allspice, cinnamon, and what else, and cloves. And then from that, you go into a manchamantel, you go into a coloradito, you go into another fruit, like stuffing for chile rellenos or something like that.
And one of the things that we've done, Rodolfo, at our restaurant is when we make our mole, and, you know, we try to keep it all together, all of the textures, but then we'll pass it and we'll take all of the chiles and all the nuts, and then we dry that out, and that becomes a spice blend for a steak.
Yeah.
And then we make a mole rub. So we dry it out overnight.
That's beautiful.
You know what I mean? And sheets and all the byproduct from mole becomes cross-utilized. And it becomes this beautiful rub for a steak.
You can make like like a salsa matcha or something.
Yeah. I mean, like rub, right now. You know, a simple rub. Yeah. So there's ways to do it.
Different ways, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you have cooking classes?
We do have cooking classes. Actually, the project of Origen started as a cooking class program. It was called Academia de Cocina Oaxaca. That was the first idea of having a place for tourists, for friends, for people that was interested in learning something about cooking. It can be like a paella, it can be a pasta dish, it can be a tamale class or something. That basically the first inspiration of my partners at that moment, it was like to have a space where we can all share recipes. But since we have the cocineras tradicionales, why not to invite one cocinera from the Isthmus to teach us how to make a garnacha or to make a tamale from corn or tamales de cambray.
Or the meatloaf.
Exactly, or the meatloaf. And in the other hand, we have like this Spanish chef related with us with like all the friends that they were around, like say, like come and spend 2 or 3 days in Oaxaca, share with us a few recipes. And then, I mean, they always love it to come because it's not something that it's mine. It's ours as Mexicans. I'd say like they always taking and getting more than what they share with us. So that was like the whole attractive to for a friend from Mexico City, from Baja, to say like, hey, you want to spend some time in Oaxaca? And said like, fuck yeah, man. Like, of course I want to be there, because they were learning. So what's happening right now, which is always beautiful to see it and to recognize it, that you see menus like in London, in the US, in the northern states in the country, that they're all incorporating Oaxacan ingredients, which is beautiful to see.
Chapulines, so here's a real question after you.
Yeah.
Y contestas así con mucho cuidado, ¿no? So, do we invite your mom, my mom, as a cocinera tradicional, no? Or do we do that? And have her come and you cook a meal, my mom and you guys, and then how we define her? ¿Eres una cocinera tradicional, mami, o no? ¿A tu punto en tu carrera o cómo?
Se me hace que sí. Particularly in the Veracruz book, because I didn't know enough about the cuisine. Now, that is a base for me. You know, mm-hmm. But I have to tell you an anecdote. I know that you do catering brilliantly and that you mention weddings. So I went with all my problems to Yira and Jonathan's wedding, and you catered this event in a place that was totally empty. You took stoves. He had a fish for every table. He had lamb chops. I mean, it was amazing. So when it came time to give a toast, I stood up and asked to give a toast, not to Yira and to Jonathan, but the toast to Rodolfo, because he pulled this thing off so beautifully. So if you're planning your wedding in Oaxaca, think of Rodolfo to do it, because he'll be rested and you won't have any problems.
Yeah, that would be fun, right? And of course, we are so inspired by you. You have to understand that, Rodolfo. As us chefs in the States and up there, we represent our culture up north, but you have a beautiful narrative because you've been able to do both. You went up, you did your time, and you came back home.
Yes.
Regresaste a la tierra.
Exacto. And
that's really
el llamado
beautiful.
De la tierra,
you know,
exactamente.
You know.
See, I guess for me, it was beautiful to do this as a commitment that I did in some point. When I finished culinary school, I earned this scholarship that I mentioned it. I spent a year in Monaco, in France, basically. And the idea of this guy, he did all his fortune in Mexico in the 50s or something. So in a way to retribute Mexico's all he did, he was like giving the scholarship to Mexican students. The first option was architecture, because he was an architect for profession, but I mean, like Monaco culture and everything that it surrounds there is based on hospitality. So it takes chefs and people that work in the front of hotels and restaurants. And the commitment was to go and learn and then get back with all this knowledge and share it with your people, with Mexican, to professionalize a little more like the service in Mexico, because I mean, or nuestra vocación es completamente mm-hmm. turística en Oaxaca, no? I mean, see, if you're an artesano, you're speaking English because you need it, no because it's something that it's trendy or something.
That's
right?
A great point that you just said.
So for me, it was like some sort of commitment to come back home and to share. So like the guy that was helping Zarela, he finished culinary school with his training, but in Oaxaca. So what is beautiful right now is like Oaxacan students, they got the opportunity now with the information that it's surrounded in the internet, but also the experience that we can share with them, so they not get surprised for what they see in Europe or in the United States or in other countries, that it's happening basically the same move. And everything is going back to our roots or bases. So it's really nice that I had this opportunity and share it with like younger cooks, understanding that it's a profession and it's more than a profession. It's a craft that you have to have it in your heart all the time.
It's a vocation.
Exactly.
Because it's a tough thing. And if you want to get in that business, you have to love it. You have to love it so much that that's the only way you'll be happy if you're doing that.
Absolutely.
And in that, on those words, unfortunately, the time has passed, you know, running like crazy as usual. But it was such a pleasure to have you, to see you, because I miss you. I'm just honored that you were here with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure.
So please, Chef Rodolfo Castellanos, can you please explain to everybody how they can engage you? How can they send you an email, go to Origen in Oaxaca, and continue to support you, please?
Well, thank you. We're Origen Oaxaca. We're downtown Oaxaca, very close to the Zócalo, actually. It's a beautiful setting, an old colonial house in the middle or in the centro, basically. Or like or redes sociales or social media, it's Origen at Origen Wax for Instagram, which is right now like the easiest and the better way. And everything ended up like with Origen Oaxaca. So if you write us an email, you just can type Rodolfo at OrigenOaxaca.com and we'll be there. Or website, it's www.OrigenOaxaca.com. So everything is around Origen Oaxaca. So you basically find us really easy. Origen.
It is exactly. Spelled Origen. O-R-I-G-E-N.
Exactly. Origen. Yes, and everything you need from us in Oaxaca, we'll be flattered to have you here and to hear from you and to share with you and anything you need. I mean, we're, like we said, an open book for people that really enjoy food. They really enjoy Oaxaca and they wanted to come. And for us, it's always a pleasure to share more than everything, because we had it that since we were born, like we had like full hands on everything, especially the love of our traditional
and motorcycle.
Culture. Yes, it's a neighbor. Yeah. He just left. Yeah. He was bringing tortillas, though.
Andale. But we have to be so grateful today. So we've been talking about contemporary interpretations of traditional Mexican food on Cooking in Mexico from A to Z. Of course, myself, Aaron Sanchez, alongside my beautiful mother, Sarela Martinez, we're bringing you on Heritage Radio Network all this beautiful content from chefs and experts in the food world that help bring to light the beautiful utilization of Mexican ingredients and cultural references. And that's why we're here, to enlighten you guys and give beautiful brillo or understanding to these beautiful leaders in our industry. So we're really happy, Rodolfo, for your time. Please make an effort to go down and visit with him in Oaxaca at his beautiful restaurant, Origen.
Hasta luego.
Thank you.
Hasta luego.
Cooking in Mexican from A to Z is powered by Simple Cast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without your support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. Center.